Now hear this. You are listening to Charlie Tricks, Remy Say, and John Boom.
Light the Palo, ah, the Holy Spirit of Chicago. Married to the game, I should've took the bitch to Cabo. I know, like Bill Withers, feel niggas. They say stay safe, but they still hit us. Feel the rivers, it's like the ghost of Emmett Till with us. We got black cars, now they gotta deal with us. Rihanna got a bill, they gotta deal with the sisters. In pursuit of happiness, I ask God to Will Smith is blessed are the meek. We inherit earth and then we speak into existence. I'm rooted in black thoughts, like Tariq, I was a drifter. Now I'm a shifter of paradigms. Lifter of tethered minds.
Yes, yes, y'all. You know what it is? That's my man Common freestyling on, what's the name of these dudes' show?
LA Leakers.
Yeah.
LA Leakers freestyle.
Common freestyle on the LA Leakers, destroying it.
Coming in.
My goodness.
Yup. Remind
God bless
everybody.
Let them know. With this stuff.
They know what time it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what it is. I am your host. This is The Fan's Perspective. Charlie Tricks is in the house. Ladies and gentlemen, I got my brother here.
Let me say, what's good, everybody?
And, of course...
You know it's your boy, John Boom. What's happening?
John Busy Boom is in the building.
Birthday weekend. Happy birthday, Boom.
Yo, that's right. You already know, man. Thank you, everybody, man. And shout out to everyone who took time to wish me happy birthday. Instagram, DMs, nudes... All the good stuff that came during my birthday, I really appreciate it, man. You know, Facebook, too, you know what I'm saying, with the reminders, you know what I'm saying, everybody showing love, especially more towards the people that send the nudes, a little extra love for you on Snapchat. Love it. Thank you.
Yo, so what, you what, 58 now?
Or? Yo, 58 minus 20 at 10 at 6, multiplied by 2, divided by 69. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly where I am right now. But don't worry about the age. It's all about how the penis works in the ocean, baby. And it's still functional. Free, free, free.
Yo, yeah, so, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. It's The Fan's Perspective. It is September 19th, Sunday. Beautiful Sunday, fun
yes.
day. And you know what? It is actually episode 69.
Nasty.
We made it, baby.
We made it.
We finally made it. Episode 69 is here. So we got some fun stuff.
Yeah, man. We got a couple fun things, fun facts, real fun. Shit, sad shit.
You know.
We got some fun shit. Stuff to talk about for 69.
Correction.
John Boom's birthday. The energy is high.
Yeah, man. It's real good, man. Thanks, everybody. You know, Virgo is a good season. It's a good sign to be. Because it keeps it real all the time. Even when it's time to keep it fake, we can't even do it. We just glitch. It'll say nothing.
That yeah, man.
With the dry snitching
so
too.
We ate some 24-karat gold
crusted
wings.
Oh, yeah. We were
wings.
Super Bruno Mars with it, man. 24-karat big wings.
The whole squad.
And honestly, they were really good. You know, they wasn't just for the hype and the look. They were nice and crispy, nice Chipotle flavor to them. So, shout out to the Ainsworth.
Good for one time. Good for one time. It's good for a birthday meal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yo, Remy sent me...
Don't get them during their lunch
Remy
break.
Sent me a video. I thought those just looked disgusting.
Yeah.
I was that looks disgusting.
It does, it does.
It looks crazy.
It's a disgusting meal for a disgusting man on a disgusting birthday.
I was like, John would rather eat ass.
You know, what you do, you want. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, but real quick, back to that Common freestyle. I just want to say, man,
oh,
is it me?
Powerful.
I want to rhyme like Common
after
Sense.
After that versus battle when Jadakiss coming through.
Yeah.
And, like, just watching the old school cats really
do they
spit that crazy.
Because
right there, yo, Common destroyed
cook
that.
Yeah.
Was just
it's
ugly.
Like it's like clockwork. It's like running a bicycle, man. Like, they just never leave it.
You never forget.
You know, because he's an actor now. And when I think of Common now, I'm looking for a good movie, you know, because he's been in some good-ass movie. John Wick, you know what I'm saying? He was a good over there. And a couple
I love
other
Common
drinks.
As an actor.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. So that's what I think about Common nowadays, more like acting. But
yo, he just showed that he still got
it. Yeah, he's 100%.
He cook, still man. Got it, man.
And it's been a good year for the old school heads. Nas, the King's Disease Volume 2 album, one of the best albums of the year.
Okay,
hands down.
Okay, let's go.
I like it better than either Drake or Kanye's efforts these past few weeks that got overhyped a little bit.
You know, too sexy. IMO.
And then, I hate that song with a passion, that Too Sexy bullshit.
Yeah, man.
I don't know. but it I can't stand that song.
Yeah.
And they're really trying to hammer us over the head with it. Stop it. Lazy ass. Corny ass. Garbage. Well, but
if they play it enough times, you'll be humming along.
Yeah. You won't be able to help yourself. Too sexy for this. What the fuck?
I might be too sexy for this podcast.
But yeah, so then it's always nice to be refreshed and not have and get something like what Common just dropped. You know, just that freestyle, just 6 or 7 minutes of just real bars. And then also, like, West Side Gunn had a decent album come out recently. Benny's been dropping some fire. So
yo,
there's a lot
Benny
of this.
Butcher,
good,
you know, I pick up shit late, you know what I'm saying, when it goes. But Benny the Butcher's exactly his name is, man. He slaughters the bars. He slaughters the bars. Yep. Man.
Benny's no joke.
Shut up, man. Shut up.
Speaking of all this rap shit, there was another rapper in the news.
Speaking of rappers and episode 69.
Yeah, all smushed up into one. There was another rapper who went viral.
Oh, okay.
On Twitter.
Wallah Now.
It was the weekend, right? Or was it Friday?
Nicki Minaj went off. Yeah, exactly. Kind of sparked some controversy.
You had to hear this by now, and probably by the time you listen to this, it's already been out on a million different news shows, but there's no way we could let TFP episode 69 slide by and not mention this story.
So Nicki Minaj didn't go to the Met Gala because I guess she had to be vaccinated. And here's her tweet explaining why she is cautious. She said, "My cousin," this is literally Nicki Minaj's Twitter, "My cousin in Trinidad won't get the vaccine because his friend got it and became impotent. His testicles became swollen. His friend was weeks away from getting married. Now the girl called off the wedding. So just pray on it and make sure you're comfortable with your decision. Not bullied."
Okay. Yeah.
About vaccines and balls. I don't think that's how it works, Nikki.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yo, the funny thing was that
I don't know about the ball swollen. She might have some other shit.
This fucking
going on.
Tweet. This tweet is hilarious.
Oh shit. Look like Dunkin'
Don't
Donuts.
Don't you know Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah, why don't you grab that?
I'm on it.
There's not sponsorship, but Dunkin' Donuts is great coffee. Provides this, great energy when you're on the low and doing your thing on the podcast.
You know what? Let's take five and we'll jump back in a second. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
For sure.
You're listening to TFP, the fan's perspective.
Okay, so we're back. We were talking about Nicki Minaj's hilarious tweet about swollen balls as a result of COVID vaccine.
No.
Yes. Her cousin's friend's swollen balls ruined his potential marriage. Now the wedding's been called off, and they believe the vaccine caused the swollen balls, not maybe, you know, some other thing that could have caused a wedding to be called off.
Crabs.
The funniest part about the whole thing is how this stupid tweet, this just little tweet, which just should have been just whatever, somebody tweeted some right. silly stuff, went viral and then ended up on all these news networks. Now, most people just took it for what it was, which right. was just a ridiculous
laughed at
tweet.
It.
There was a lot of responses about how the person she was talking about got swollen balls because he cheated on his wife at his bachelor party.
Oh.
Or something.
Now they're coming out.
And got an STD.
Okay.
I don't know if that's verified or not, but that was the shit going back.
That was
back
the joke. That was
the shit going back and forth on Twitter. I'm looking more towards STD than the vaccine.
Well, check this out. This is hilarious. this story went viral so bad that the fucking health minister for Trinidad and Tobago actually had to come out and put out a statement saying he investigated the swollen testicle story.
We take Nicki Minaj very seriously when she says her cousin's friend's fiance called off a wedding over.
He said there is no such reported case in Trinidad and Tobago. So how funny is it that
ridiculous?
It's a tweet about swollen balls. And
one
the vaccine.
Tweet. Just led to the health minister of Trinidad and Tobago had to turn that shit down. You got Tucker Carlson going crazy defending her. And
well,
shit.
The funny thing is that Tucker Carlson and right. Fox News covered it like it was a legit thing.
A major story.
And everyone else covered it like this is a stupid fucking
thing. But think about how, you know, how Nicki Minaj is in Trinidad. You know, she's like a very, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A crazy celebrity or like a J-Lo, you know what
I'm
saying?
She's like, yeah, exactly.
So it's like, you know, they got to make sure that they cover their trust. Also, the type of sponsorship that she probably got out there as well, you know, it's different. It's Michael Jordan.
We don't want people panicking. Well,
the health minister, the health minister came out and was like, I investigated the balls and finally swollen balls. Just regular balls.
There are no swollen ball stories coming out of Trinidad.
But, 5% or less of crabs breakouts.
And there's been like the two reactions of it are people laughing at how ridiculous the shit is, and then people who are like, you see how mean everybody is about to the unvaccinated people. And it's like, no. Listen, there's a difference here. If you're going to go unvaccinated, you're going to claim skepticism and do the, you know, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. But when you hit us with that butt, do not hit us with bullshit, or else we're gonna make fun of you for saying some dumb shit. But I don't want my balls to get swollen. It could ruin my marriage because my cousin, sister's fiance. Yeah. Last time I believed somebody saying some shit like that, I was in second grade listening to some nonsense.
This isn't Love and Hip Hop, man. This is the dumbest shit.
So if you're gonna do the I'm skeptical about the vaccine, have an intelligent excuse for it. Don't give us bullshit. It's been 5 billion doses or some shit.
If anything, you would hear the news from me. I'll tell you anything you want to hear, man.
You know, if people's walls start swelling, John Boom's going to be on it.
I'm going to be on it, man.
He's going to be reporting very quickly.
Whatever you want it to be, it's going to be the news.
You're
going to
find out.
If it was a swollen ball thing, this whole shit would have been shut down a long time
ago. If it was a swollen ball thing, I would have gotten the vaccine a long time ago. Would have gotten it when it first came out.
I know some incels who could use the vaccine.
Flowing all summer long.
But yeah, the thing is, it's like, stop being mean to us for not wanting to get the vaccine. Stop saying dumb shit like, oh, it makes you magnetized. Look at this spoon.
Come on, man.
That's why I don't say nothing about vaccines. So dumb.
I don't get in those type of
This is why I was annoyed with people doing you can't wear the mask because the CO2 will kill you. Yeah, people wear those masks for a very long time all day. Yeah, exactly. All right. That's because you got halitosis. Stop it.
All right, let's move. We've had enough of that topic.
Enough of you, Nicki.
Let's move off the balls. We didn't even get into the anal beats part.
Oh, my God.
There was a whole anal beat section.
A follow-up tweet.
We'll just leave that.
This one is explicit, man. It's going to have six beers on
episode
Anchor.
69. 69.
Thank you for tuning in to episode 69. All right. If you're still here, Jesus Christ for you.
Yes.
All right, moving on. We wanted to talk about some of the new shows and movies that are out right now.
Keep you updated.
You know, if you tune in to other episodes, we always talk about some of the new fire Charlie that's out.
Knows.
Right now, one of my favorite shows, season 2, just came out, is Wu-Tang, An American Saga.
Oh, okay.
Fire.
It's back.
For sure.
They dropped the first 3 episodes. Came out at once, and then they've been doing it weekly. So this week episode 5 comes out, but I could tell you, I watched the first 4 episodes. I thought it was fire. I thought the way they're breaking down the story is amazing. RZA's starting to get the Wu-Tang clan together
official
and
now.
Put the group together officially, and it's just great to watch how they're evolving and turning into what we know them as, you know, the Wu-Tang Clan.
And now it's getting to the point where he's handing out beats to these guys that you know what that's going to become. You know what verses are coming out of it. And you kind of hear some of the influence as they're walking through episodes. So if you are a fan of Wu-Tang, some of the dopest shit is, like, I know these guys' story pretty well. And a lot of the main points, they're hitting them all on the way in. So, you know, ooh, we love you, Rakim. That shit was season 1. We got to see all of that. It is a little weird that, you know, we know these guys so well. We know who the RZA is. Nobody's going to ever be able to match the way that the RZA talks in real life. That dude's a one of one. Ghostface has his own type of swag and charisma. Like, these dudes are very charismatic people. But I think the show does a pretty good job of trying to, like, of giving you that vibe without being able to match it, because they're impossible to match that level.
Yeah,
but the show is fun to watch as these guys come together. These beats are starting to come together, and we're getting close to all the fire dropping.
As a fan of Wu-Tang, I'm really enjoying it. I think they did a great job. Yeah. I think the actors are doing a great job.
They're getting involved in that, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really fun to watch. So, shout out to Wu-Tang and Wu-Tang America Saga. If you haven't checked it out, tune in.
Watch Hulu, and support it. We got hip-hop movies and TV shows now. Let's keep supporting it so we can get more and better versions.
Get it going. Get it going. Let me know if you know about the show.
So, my shit to bring to the table was definitely going to be Malignant.
Ooh.
Like, a lot of
that
people...
That was fucking crazy.
It's a love it or hate it movie. Yeah. I think the thing about it is the trailer came out and they made it look like a typical James Wan horror movie. He made The Conjuring, those types of movies, Insidious. And they made it look... Charlie's hype. They made it look like it was going to be another...
Candyman is in the room.
Right? Like another basic haunted house movie, yeah, but right it's on. Not. Malignant is something completely different.
Yes.
And it's honestly, it embraces the campy side of horror and giallo horror from way back in the day. So there's a sense of humor to everything. It's a little over the top. It's not taking itself too seriously while playing it up, you know, like playing up the vibes, which makes it even funnier to me. And it just goes, the third act of that movie is absolutely batshit crazy in the best way, the most entertaining.
Give it a try, crazy. Man.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed watching that. You know, when you're watching that campy slasher type horror, it's not something that you need to take so seriously. And I think it's the creativity of it that stood out to me.
They took their time with this one.
But I thought it was a fun watch. If you're like me, you love horror, I really enjoyed it. I like seeing the character, the
Gabriel.
Villain.
The creature is incredible. The thing about this movie, people normally expect, you say horror, you automatically think, how scary is it? And this isn't really a scary movie, but it hits all the other parts of horror, aspects of horror that are entertaining.
For sure.
In a fun way. It's just a fun-ass movie.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you what not to watch, though, on Netflix. Prey.
No, don't watch Netflix. It. I was going to check that out.
It starts off good. It gives you a good vibe. The story sounds good. It feels good throughout. But then when the ending comes, it's going to give you a Netflix ending.
A Netflix ending.
Yeah, if you recognize Netflix back in the day, they almost landed, but they don't.
No, you know, quite stick the landing.
They might get it on not the first one, but the second hole. You know what I'm saying? That type of ending is what Netflix is going to give you. But The Prey, stay away from it. Pray you ain't see it.
Pray you don't make the mistake.
John, but you want to talk about the last?
What about Clickbait? Talk to us about Clickbait.
Yo, awesome, well. Awesome, man. Very underrated. Went through it, man. Solid episode, solid. Shout out to my man from the Entourage, man. He did a great job. You know what I'm saying? That catfish swag to it. I really like it, man. Give it a try. Very intense. I think it's 10 for 10, man. Everyone I recommended it to, they fucking loved it. Even people that don't like it.
Yeah, Clickbait really had me from the first episode when I watched it. And it was one of those that every episode put something new on the table and took it in a different direction. So, you know.
Mindfuck. This is a mindfuck roller coaster. Real,
suspense.
Real good.
Mystery suspense
category. You can't say too much about it without giving away too much. That's the problem of it. But everybody I've spoken to that watches it, as soon as they start it, they wind up binging it within a few days because every episode leaves you with a new revelation or question, and you just got to see more because you want to unravel it and find out. And it's a big series of secrets being kept from everybody, miscommunications, and all types of craziness.
Good shit, man.
Definitely worth a watch. I have it my second favorite series this year so far behind Mare of Easttown.
Yeah, definitely up there for me. And one other thing before we move on, and so we'll take a break and head to the next section. I wanted to give a shout out to a new series I just started watching called C. S-E-E.
Right. Oh, it's on Apple TV. Yes, put me on to that,
been amazing. What a great storyline.
Right.
It takes place in the future. A virus breaks out. Civilization is wiped out. There's only a couple million people left. And everyone who's left is blind. And then that's where humanity starts from. So all the generations coming up are blind. And there's different tribes. And it's picture Vikings if all the freaking everybody was blind and they were still fighting and going at it like that.
Created a society that runs on, like, everybody's got, like, whips or sticks to point in front of themselves so that if they can feel you, they catch you, pop, pop, pop. Their other senses are way enhanced because they've evolved. Yeah, I'm like five episodes in.
Nice, man. I was waiting for a recommendation. Y'all gave it to me because the picture of it looks dope. You got my man Batista.
Khal Drogo. And yes,
Batista, so they just started season two.
Uh-huh.
Batista's in season two.
Gotcha.
Season one is awesome. You can start with season one. Yeah. There's 8 episodes. It had me right from the first episode. And I ran through that like in a day and a half.
Yo.
It sounds so crazy. Like, how would that work? But they've really thought about different things for how they make the society kind of function. They add some supernatural shit, you know, of course. But at the same time, it's great. And one of the cool things about it is they have like vision. People with vision is basically an urban legend to them, and they think you're a witch. Ooh. If you're somebody that can see.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I don't want to give away a lot, but I just wanted to say I will highly recommend on Apple TV.
You got me.
See,
I'm going to watch it.
Yep.
Pay for this. How much is Apple TV though? What they capping? $8.99?
I don't know. You got cinema? It's on there too.
Okay.
I got a Mac computer last year, so they gave me a free year subscription. So I'm on that.
Don't be capping.
That free $9.99.
All right. Let's take a break right here. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go nowhere.
Up in two, 500 grand in a kidney. Uh-huh. All these racks got your bitch down in Panama City. Yeah, it's for the haters that was planning to get me. Stepping on them zips got me standing in Finney. This for honest success and for all the promises kept. You know I'm down to pay homage out of respect. But I still spray hollows out of a tech. Rolly face full of diamonds for when it's time to reflect. Hopping down that same road, so I feel for those. It's harder running.
You're listening to TFP, the fan's perspective.
Oh yeah, you know what time it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's that time. Let me remind you, baby. Let me remind you that on September 17th, 2021, this year, was the 10-year anniversary of Occupy Wall Street.
Shout out.
Shout out to Occupy and all the people who stood out there. A lot of people mocked that movement, said they didn't, you know, nothing came out of it. They didn't have their goals set, and it was a mess. It was unorganized. But
yeah, right.
Now we see... Now that tree has bared its fruits, and you can draw a direct line from Occupy to Bernie Sanders' movement, and that is a big fucking
protests,
deal.
All the mass protests you're seeing now, I think Occupy really played a big role in inspiring a lot of
so
these
much,
movements.
So
and
much.
And getting people to work on mutual aid, charity funds, all types of shit, helping others.
Yes.
So
those movements are alive. Shout out to Occupy. It's the 10-year anniversary.
Pow. Occupy. Pow, as the epic versus battles continue, two legends went up this Tuesday. The legendary Ja Rule from the Murder, Inc. fam and Fat Joe from Terror Squad went toe-to-toe, hit for hit, shot for a shot.
You know.
Ashanti was out there. Nelly was out there performing Hot in Here. It don't matter what battle it is, you put Hot in Here. And it changed the tempo right away, but that's what they wanted. That's what they needed. I think Ja Rule took it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Joe did come swinging, but either which way, let me remind you, Ja Rule and Fat Joe, the best of Queens and Bronx, Brooklyn, BK, what the fuck's going on?
Yup.
Oh. You gave that to Ja Rule?
You know what it is? To me, the verses now... Because I've seen so many of them, the way you want to see that Ja Rule from back in the day, and that's what I felt when he was performing. Joe felt like some of his hits didn't match the energy of that time that he had when them hits was hot.
And he left some of his better verses on the table. He had more hits to go to, and he didn't, and it was weird.
But, So all Joe, right. like, he was, like, sucker punching, you know what I'm saying? Like,
talking,
yeah, I got you.
Talking shit between verses and, you know, trying to sell it that way.
Gotcha.
You know, more fire from Joe, but Joe was a little more peaceful than I thought.
And
know?
Jadakiss still had the best verse of the night because they let him come out and do his New York verse.
Oh,
so.
Gosh.
Well, so you already know.
Let me remind you of that.
Yeah, ready.
Let me remind you. So we've been... Afghanistan's been a big story recently. I just wanted to remind everybody of the human cost that went into the past 20 years in Afghanistan. So we've got some total deaths tallies. These are pretty terrible, but this is why pulling out of Afghanistan was the right move, in my opinion. American service members killed in Afghanistan through April, 2,448. U.S. contractors, 3,846. Other allied service members, including from other NATO member states, 1,144. Aid workers, 444. Journalists, 72. Then we get to the numbers of Afghans. First, we got the Taliban and other opposition fighters was 51,191. Afghan civilians, 47,245. Almost as many civilians as, you know, Taliban. And then Afghan national military and police, 66,000. So pretty massive numbers, and I think that's what needs to be put into context, the amount of lives that were being lost over there, and that's why the Afghanistan pullout made some sense to me.
There you go.
Let me remind you.
Pow, pow, pow.
Let me remind you that shit is real.
In the field.
Especially when we're talking about the Afghan war.
Yes, sir.
You know, there are people alive today who were in the war who had kids old enough that they sent their kids to fucking overseas.
Yeah, 20 years, man.
Yeah.
That's just so wild to even think about. And to a little bit more on how real it is, you know, a couple weeks back as we're exiting Afghanistan and getting people out of from Kabul airport, there was two suicide bombers
out there.
I got that story pulled up. You want to
run down that story so people can see just how. Let me remind you that shit is
real. I'm
gonna
give y'all two stories just real quick, the first paragraph of each. The first one is apnews.com. Kabul airport attack kills 60 Afghans, 13 U.S. troops. Two suicide bombers and gunmen attacked crowds of Afghans flocking to Kabul's airport Thursday, transforming a scene of desperation into one of horror in the waning days of an airlift for those fleeing the Taliban takeover. The attacks killed at least 60 Afghans and 13 U.S. troops, Afghan and U.S. officials said. So that was the first part. It was attacked by ISIS. So ISIS is right back to being on the attack. You know, 60 Afghans died along the way. I think that's a part that kind of got brushed aside in U.S. coverage because they focused on the 13 military members, and that's a huge loss too. But just to throw it in, a lot of people died that day.
Right, yeah.
And the 13 military members is a tragedy. The response from the U.S. was to try and counterattack right away using drones and using basically cell phone footage and satellite images. And that was the second story I wanted to bring up because the U.S. retaliation wound up killing civilians, not terrorists. Afghanistan, this is from BBC News. Afghanistan, U.S. admits Kabul drone strike killed civilians. The U.S. has admitted that a drone strike in Kabul days before its military pullout killed 10 innocent people. A U.S. Central Command investigation found that an aid worker and 9 members of his family, including 7 children, died in the August 29th strike. The youngest child, Sumaya, was just 2 years old. And these are the types of stories coming out of Afghanistan that don't get the big coverage because nobody wants to hear about, you know, that horrendous part of it. But this is what needs to be heard, is that the drones and all of that shit, it was killing almost as many civilians as it was militants. And what they were rating as militants is also pretty sketchy. They basically, if you were a young man, they would just assume you were a militant for a while there. So I'm not even sure how good those numbers are on that.
Well, just think about how bad that drone strike was. First of all, the Afghan war was terrible, as we were just mentioning. You see the numbers. The airport bombing was terrible. We lost 13 U.S. Marines, and there was tons of Afghanistan people lost, you know, casualties, family members, man. And, you know, men, women, children. I forget what I was saying.
They're all ugly, but the type scenarios. Of mistakes they make.
Oh, that's what I was going to say about the drone strike. You know, the U.S. drone strike, that was totally in the military's control. Somebody said, you know, how probable is it that this car we're about to bomb or this whatever we're about to target, the
is person, somebody planning the an attack
in there. Right. And I, you know, you don't hit the wrong 10 people, including women and children, and kill a whole family. You know, if you had solid
intel, whatever.
Yeah, right. Intel was even close to solid.
They thought they saw him loading bombs onto his car. I believe, if I'm remembering right from this article, he was loading water containers onto his car.
Yeah.
And when you read some of the other stories, these people would be going to water and they would just get fired on because everybody's at war with each other. There's so many enemies, and the U.S. didn't have a great plan going in, so...
Yeah, I read a horrifying story about a woman who had to flee with her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the scariest part about it was just them walking outside and going somewhere. They were at risk of being targeted as terrorists and being bombed and blown the hell up. That's how they lived their everyday life. If they were going to walk to go get water, they knew that might be their last walk. That's insane, man.
It's an article called The Other Afghan Women. It's in The New Yorker. It's by Anand Gopal. Yes,
that's the one.
Gopal. That story takes you through this woman's whole entire life, and she has just been there for conflict after conflict. When the Soviets rolled in, she was hiding in caves with her mother and grandmother. When the Taliban take over, she's still young. And then when the U.S. comes through and fights the Taliban, every single time they go through another set of issues of terror, warlords, dealing with things. And it's not like the U.S. made it so much safer for these people. It was just as dangerous, if not more dangerous, because these are conflict zones.
Right on.
You know, these are fights.
Any discrepancy, pow, shit pops off.
Exactly. I forget the numbers. It was like 12 or 13 members of every family. What they looked back, the families they looked at, it was an average of like 12 or 13 family members lost per family. It's really foul what was going on.
Yeah, it's pretty rough out there. But that's a good one, that story that you just mentioned from The New Yorker.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real good one.
There was another one in The Intercept about how poorly planned out the shit was. That's really worth a read, too. I wish I could find that title.
Yeah, man. Lots of titles, man.
Two decades of American lies in Afghanistan. You want to get your primer on it? The Other Afghan Women and Two Decades of Afghan Lies by James Risen. Those are the two articles to read if you want to see why. As ugly as it has been, as sloppy and chaotic, the problem of the Afghan pullout was that it was never going to be something well organized. They did not care enough for 20 years.
And the other thing about it is... you know, I saw a lot of people who are typically anti-immigration from their rhetoric that I see online. Mm-hmm. I saw them all, you know, go into bleeding heart mode when and all of a sudden care about the people getting left behind when we were pulling out. Gotcha. But those same people, when asked if they'd be okay with accepting Afghani immigrants
refugees
here, they all unanimously say no. I haven't heard or seen anybody posting like, yeah, you know what, we should take some of those those people in. They helped us. Let's bring them over here.
You can find conservatives
of land to do this.
You can find conservative representatives tweeting about like dozens of Afghan refugees coming into their states and freaking out about it. Like dozens of people are going to change the culture of your entire state. And like you need to worry about that sort of thing. It's so crazy. It's just constant fear mongering about immigrants from anywhere. If it's not the caravan, it's the Afghans. And if it's not the Afghans, then it's the Haitian refugees. There's always an issue, no matter where these fucking people come from.
Speaking of that.
It's crazy.
Yo, well, we're going to go right into it, you know, because we, you know what I'm saying? Let's keep the party going now. This story's going to pick up because we're already about 3 weeks into what's going on. So, as you know, Haitians have been fleeing Haiti. Due to a lot of conflict over there. Now, this picks up Haitians right at the Rio Grande on Saturday after they cross into the United States from Mexico. Now, this story is right on the NBC. You know, it's right on the NBC News website. You know what I'm saying? If you want to check it out for yourself. Some of the thousands of Haitian migrants who crossed from Mexico into Texas border camp were flown back to their poverty-stricken homeland Sunday by the United States in an effort to deter others from crossing into the country. So, as you know, they've been coming in. U.S. officials told the Associated Press that three flights departed San Antonio from Port-au-Prince and would arrive in the afternoon. The officials spoken on condition of... This is the thing, man, of because... Man, let's skip that. That's nothing to do with that, man. Many of the migrants have lived in Latin America for years, but now are seeking Islam in the U.S. as an
asylum
in the U.S. as economic opportunities in Brazil and elsewhere dry up. Thousands have been living under a new bridge in the Texas border city of Del Rio, and many of them say they will not be going back to their country no matter what the fuck the U.S. says.
Well, yeah, so there was also an earthquake.
Yeah, no, that's
Haiti got hit with a massive earthquake.
Crazy earthquake.
They had the coup happen before that. They've had a lot of chaos. There's killings. It is chaotic over there. So about
there's mass shit going on in Haiti, man.
12,000 migrants have arrived at the borders. They're being left waiting by U.S. Customs and Border Protection, and they're seeking asylum. And it's hard to argue with an asylum case when all of this has gone on. The earthquake, the coup, the you know, the political dissent going on. So it's a crazy situation, but it's another case where had we put resources into our border in processing and letting immigrants get a proper look and get into the country when they use proper avenues, which seeking asylum is a proper avenue of emigrating into this country. If we had put the resources in the right way, that would be good. We could bring these people in. And everybody that's screaming about job shortages and not being able to find people to work, well, you've got an influx of people that could that are looking for opportunity and economic opportunities. They would love to have these jobs.
You know, fast food is over, baby.
Train them. You know, like the immigration is always a great way to you know, support the economy.
I don't know about what's about 14 mil though.
14 mil, what?
It seems like it's about the way it makes it seem like it's about 14 million.
No, it's 12,000 people at the borders.
It feels
and there are
like
300.
14.
Yeah, well, the media loves to make shit seem a lot bigger than it is. But yeah, 12,000 into a country of 380 million people, it's actually pretty manageable. It sounds like a lot, except 380 million is a lot more. You know what I mean?
There's so much space in this country that's not even used.
Yeah.
It's just vast lands of emptiness.
And it's vaccinated.
That's right. That's right. We could take that. All right. I think I got time, Remy, for one more story. I don't know what if you want
to
do.
Oh, so you had done to let me remind you about Occupy Wall Street, and I just wanted to read an old story. This came out in 2012 because
make sure you
Yeah, my bad. I just gotta pull it up. The thing about what happened with Occupy Wall Street is a lot of people sleep on just how coordinated the attack on it was. So I wanted to pull that up and find it, but I need a second just to
grab it. Hey, man, don't worry about a thing. Commercials are in between, man. Dunkin' Donuts came through.
Here we go. This is from The Guardian.
I keep telling you, consciousness over coochie, politics over punani.
This is an article from The Guardian. It's called Revealed, How the FBI Coordinated the Crackdown on Occupy. by Naomi Wolf.
Oh, Nasty Wolf.
Logline. New documents prove what was once dismissed as paranoid fantasy, totally integrated corporate state repression of dissent. This was on. This came out December 29th, 2012. It was more sophisticated than we had imagined. New documents show that the violent crackdown on Occupy last fall, so mystifying at the time, was not just coordinated at the level of the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, and local police. The crackdown, which involved, as you may recall, violent arrests, group disruption, canister missiles to the skulls of protesters, people held in handcuffs so tight they were injured, and people held in bondage till they were forced to wet or soil themselves, was coordinated with the big banks themselves.
That's
the article
crazy.
Points out how the banks were giving data to the FBI, and the FBI was sharing the data with the local police, and everybody coordinated, and they were targeting basically college kids. But they really went out of their way to shut that shit down, to paint it as, you know, a lot less than it was. And it was chaotic. It was a lot of young heads with different goals and disparate things. But everybody came together and everybody was there for good causes. You know, the things they marched right. for were, you know, people's rights and for, you know, holding the banks accountable, which I think now is much more supported. They helped normalize those discussions. The tax the rich thing, you know, that sort of argument that blew up after Occupy. So that's why I think that's a good story to look into. And just to know that you could talk about how not serious it was, but they were attacked in such a coordinated, heavy-duty way by their own government that it's crazy to think about.
Yeah, and, you know, the other things to point out is that there's a whole world of left movement, left in general, because, you know, there's all different factions of the left. We know this, anybody who's follows left policies. Mm-hmm. But left in general, I don't know if it's me or maybe just because of the era of me growing up, but it seemed like after Occupy, that lane has gotten wider and wider and wider. And as I mentioned before, people can draw a direct line to Bernie Sanders.
Yep.
And that's coming from some of the political pundits that I find the most reliable.
Yeah.
Speaking on it.
So the way I see it, the way that people dismiss Occupy is to point to the electoral results and say things like, Donald Trump got elected president and Joe Biden's president now, so they didn't accomplish anything. And it's like, that wasn't the goal. Like, Occupy was almost just like, our politicians aren't listening. We need to have our voice heard somehow, some way. And then realizing that collectively we could build a voice and we could have impacts in different places. So you see student loan debt forgiveness movements and things like that come out of it that were different scattered movements, but they all had impact. And then what you saw was a push to like draft Elizabeth Warren because she was the most leftward voice that was getting any love from the media at the time. And when she didn't do it, Bernie was like, I'll run. And we all got behind and didn't realize what it was going to be when it first started, man.
Exactly.
Like I've told the story on a few of these episodes when you and me, when me and Los went to the first Bernie kickoff rally, there were maybe 15 people there.
Yep.
It was a diverse crowd. It was all ages and races, but it was 15 people sitting in lawn chairs at a little park.
Fast forward to us taking John Boone to his first
big
rally.
Orgy, yeah.
Tens of thousands of people in Queens.
20 plus thousand were in that park.
It was, word up. Yeah.
That was nice.
It was an obnoxious number, man. Good time. Those pictures are crazy. Yep.
And when you were walking in and everybody was handing out flyers and saying, we're doing this, so we're working on that, and different people were trying to get anybody to come with, right. That was almost what it was like when I walked through Zuccotti Park the first time at Occupy. It was like there was just different people with different things. If you stopped and asked questions, you could get educated on a million issues.
Yeah.
They literally had a little library on the side. Like
that's one thing I like about those
sex parties afterwards.
Like pamphlets.
They was giving out little flyers to that too.
Little directions.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just
but
a
I liked
different
it
animal.
It's like this like a big giant place full of random ideas from all these different segments mm-hmm. of groups of people and you could just, you know, walk down any aisle and just next thing you know, you're engulfed in this whole world of shit. Different idea you never thought of.
Learn about these causes and ways you can help and all this stuff. The two things I think are super interesting now, tort reform and that type of activism.
Yeah,
where are the movements
Sam
going?
Cedar definitely has me interested in tort reform.
That's the other side. That's the legal side, judicial branch.
But yo, I hate to cut this episode a little shorter than I wanted to, but I actually got to take a trip to the airport.
Big airports.
Hey.
Got to get the flat business deal out there in Guadalajara.
Before we head out.
You know, charges with the cartel.
Anybody want to give any shout outs?
Yo, shout out to everybody that listens to the TFP all the time, man. All the time for the ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Yep.
Remy, you know. Anybody?
Yeah, shout out to my cousin Chris. He got married last week. I was a part of the wedding, so that was fun. Chris. Shout out to cuz. Shout out to Danielle and Chris. Congratulations. And also to all my lefties, let's all say it together. 1, 2, 3. Joe Manchin is a dickhead.
Yeah, Joe Manchin. You're not a Manchin, you're a condominium.
Well, I think those other three Dems holding up the prescription reform.
Chris Sinema, too. Oh, I Scumbag wish I should have taken down their names.
Yeah, man.
All right, man. Well, we'll catch you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to episode 69 TFP.
Pow.
Peace.
We'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night.